Do you know, it used to be that people accumulated things. After the hardships of the Second World War and rationing and all that went with that, in an effort to make life better and to move away from those hardships, as a society we began to accumulate things. The car became much more affordable. Fashion moved from being in designer shops and into the high street. By the time we got into the 1980s, Margaret Thatcher had placed home ownership within the reach of ordinary working people, something that was much more difficult for them to do before that. And now that we've got everything that we could possibly get our hands on, we've turned our attention towards technology. It was televisions. Do you remember you used to rent your television out of Radio Rentals? You didn't buy it, you used to rent it. And maybe you had a black and white television, and then suddenly your neighbor started to get a color one, and so you got a color one. And then you got one with a remote control, and it had teletext on it. Guys, if you don't know what teletext is, ask your granny and granda, they will tell you. And then once we'd, you know, TVs, we all know where they went to. And then there was the advent of the home computer, the laptop, the internet, broadband, mobile phones, tablets. And we gathered all of these things. The more technologically advanced they became, the more we want them. But actually now we've run out of devices to buy. And so we buy apps. We get subscriptions, things that supposedly make our life better. Netflix, Amazon, Spotify. And if you don't know what those things are, there's people in the corner will be able to tell you. But they're the things that we chase now. But the truth, we've probably got all of the apps that we will ever need. And so today, society looks for its rights. The world is filled with groups of people demanding their rights. Everywhere we look, we see things, rainbow flags, transgender rights are part of our culture now. The Black Lives Matter movement and all of that, taking the knee before a game of football, it's all about rights. Now, to be clear, I'm not suggesting that anybody should be denied equality, nor am I suggesting that any form of discrimination is acceptable. I'm simply making the comment that now that we have everything that we need, we collect rights. And actually, the church isn't immune to this. Increasingly, I hear the church, or at least parts of the church, demanding its rights, the right to say something, to do something, to be seen and to be heard. And as we continue with this series of stories that Jesus told, we're listening to a story that was told in response to someone who was demanding their rights. In verse 13, chapter 12, verse 13, we read, "Someone in the crowd said to him, 'Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me.'" It seems that this is the age-old story of a family falling out over an inheritance. We can only presume that this person's older brother, who would have been left everything, you didn't split inheritance, you just gave it to the oldest, that he wanted to do one thing. He wanted to keep the family business going or keep the farm going or whatever it was, but you know, this other person that's asking the question, a younger brother, well, he wanted to do something else. I don't know, maybe he wanted to engage in a bit of wild living. Maybe he'd heard the parable of the prodigal son and thought, actually, that sounds okay. We don't know, we can only guess. But what we do know is that Jesus was being asked to make a ruling. He was being asked to judge between them. Whose rights were more important? Who deserved equality, who should be able to do the things and be the person that they want to be. Essentially, Jesus was being asked, has anyone the right to stop this guy from being himself? It's a question that we're all familiar with. But Jesus' answer was fascinating. Man, he said, who appointed me a judge or an arbiter between you? And verse 14. And so here we have the creator of the universe, the one who would judge the living and the dead, who would at one point separate the sheep from the goats. No higher judge in Jesus, no higher judge in the land or this universe. And he's asking, who appointed me a judge or an arbiter between you? Jesus was essentially saying two things to this man. The first was, look, I have no legal standing to settle this argument. If you guys can't figure a way out, you're going to have to come to some sort of arrangement. This is something between you, and you're going to have to figure this out. Don't drag other people into it. But the second thing Jesus was saying was this. I actually have a more important question for you. And in verse 15, he said, watch out, be on your guard against all kinds of greed. Life does not consist in an abundance of possessions. And Jesus told the story of a farmer with a bumper harvest, so much so that he'd no room to put all of his crops, and his answer was to tear down his barns, build bigger ones, and then we're told that he planned to just sit back, eat, drink, and be merry, and enjoy and revel in his newfound wealth. That phrase, eat, drink, and be merry, in verse 25, is a repeated refrain from the book of Ecclesiastes. It's an indication as to the meaninglessness of life. That we can accumulate as many things, or in today's culture, we can have as many experiences and gain all of the rights in the world. We can be the people that we want to be. We can make as many changes to what is the accepted norms as we like. But actually, without God, we'll never have satisfaction, we'll never have peace, we'll never have belonging. It's only in God we find the things that we're looking for. Ecclesiastes 2:24 puts it this way, a person can do nothing better than to eat and drink and find satisfaction in their own toil. This too, I see, is from the hand of God, for without him, who can find enjoyment? For without him, who can eat or find enjoyment? Without him. And so Jesus was saying to this man, you can have all of the wealth in the world. You can have all of the rights in the world. You can have all of the equality in the world. We can change our bodies, our appearance. We can have life just the way we want it. But the reality is that even then, we'll just be like the Rolling Stones who couldn't get any satisfaction, or you too, who still haven't found what they're looking for. It's only in Christ, only when our identity is in him, that we find what we're looking for. 2018 and 2019, I know they're a long time ago now, but they were big years for us as a family. We got what was a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to do a pulpit swap, not with somebody in Ballywillan, but actually with a minister in Toronto, and we went to Toronto for 8 weeks, and he came and lived in our house, and we went to live in his house. Essentially, he lived our life, we lived his. And for us as a family, the idea that we would have been in Canada or America or anywhere else like that would have been just a pipe dream And then to top it all off, whenever we got home, what, end of July, end of August, somewhere about there, in the October time, Julia and I went, and I think this was actually better, Julia and I went to our first ever U2 concert. Now, in fairness, I think it was a bigger thing for me than it was for Julia. U2 is a music group, okay? Probably haven't heard of them or don't listen to them. They're brilliant. Fantastic night. Lifetime ambition for me fulfilled. And then shortly after that, in 2019, Robin, my eldest son, and I got the opportunity to go across to Liverpool and to their training ground, Melwood. And Robin was able to present Mo Salah, who I think most of you have heard of, footballer, red shirt. Hopefully he scores a hat-trick today. That would be really good. Got to present him with the PFA Player of the Month Award. And another fantastic day. They were all incredible experiences. But you know, they were gone in the blink of an eye. We left the house in Toronto, and even on the car ride back to the airport, everything was already just a memory. The concert was brilliant. It really was. But whenever the band left the stage, that was it. It was over. All we had were our memories and our photographs. And as Robin and I walked out of that training ground, again, it was gone. It was gone. And it's the same with our rights or anything else that we want to collect. All the quality in the world will only last for this life, if even that. There's nothing eternal. There's nothing to hold on to. All the changes we make will only ever change this life. They don't actually change who we are. They don't actually change our standing before God. And as the farmer in Jesus' story thought about sitting back and enjoying everything that he had accomplished, God spoke to him and said, "You fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself?" Verse 20. Folks, let me ask us something. As right and proper as it is for people, regardless of their skin color, regardless of race, regardless as to their sexuality or their understanding of gender, regardless of all of that, as right as it is for everyone to be treated fairly and equally and not to be discriminated against, whenever all of these rights have been established, will individuals have been changed in such a way that our standing or our rights before God have been changed? Now, again, to be clear, you know, all discrimination of any form is wrong. But even if we change all of that today, will we have changed who we are before God? Remember, this story was told because a man asked Jesus to give him his rights. And so this story is asking if we've given the same thought to who we are before God as to who we are on this earth. And so amid all the questions of identity and belonging, Jesus is simply asking if we have considered our identity in Christ. Because everything else fades. Everything else passes. Everything else will be left behind. Identity in Christ is the only thing that is eternal. It's the only thing that's carried beyond the grave. And so, folks, where is our identity? Is it in a football shirt? Is it in something else? Or is it in Jesus? How do we identify? Is it in something that will last for this world? Or do we identify with Christ who is eternal? You know, whenever we identify with a group who are demanding rights and equality, we take on the characteristics of that group. We wear their badges, we fly their flags, we give ourselves to that group in a way which means we're bound by their rules, their morals, and their aims. And it's not just with groups. I mean, it's with anything. It's with what we watch on television, what we read, what we indulge ourselves with on the internet. That starts to define who we are. And people will start to see that in us. In identifying with Christ, we give ourselves to Him in exactly the same way that we're prone to giving ourselves to these other things. We commit ourselves to Him. We commit our way of life to Him, to His laws, to His promises. And so we begin to take on His characteristics. The Bible actually says that we're clothed in His righteousness, that He clothes us in His characteristics. But you see, the big difference is that when we commit ourselves to Jesus instead of these other things, that He is able to deliver on His promises in a way that other rights campaigners can't. Because they can't actually promise that we will get the things that they're campaigning for. But Scripture tells us that in giving ourselves to Jesus and identifying with Him, that we're already given the right to become children of God. Not born of human decision or a man's will or anything else, but born of God. And nothing can take that right away from us. Folks, let's pray. Father, we do thank You for who we are in Jesus. We thank You for all that He has done for us, for the way in which He clothes us in His righteousness, that He restores that image in which You created us. Father, thank You that His promises are eternal, that actually there is a treasure waiting for us in heaven where thieves cannot break in and steal and destroy, where moths and rust cannot cause it to fade. And so, Lord, we rejoice in our eternal identity that is found in Jesus. Forgive us, Lord, for those other things that we nail our colors to the mast of. Forgive us for those other things where our loyalty demands too much from us. Lord, help us to give ourselves completely to Jesus, in the way that You have given Yourself completely to us already. And this we pray in His name and for Your glory and indeed for our own well-being. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.